Oh, she told him, that's right, she did too, before she forsook us. That's right. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 1 this morning. As I was praying about what to share this morning, being the last morning service for 2010, the good Lord brought me back to our yearly theme, the theme of prayer. We began the year with the first Sunday of the month, presenting our yearly theme on prayer, based upon 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, where the Bible teaches us that we are to pray without ceasing. And I'd like to bring the year to a close as far as the Sunday morning services are concerned by reminding us concerning that principle to pray without ceasing. Teaches us that we need to be prepared to enter a new year praying without ceasing, continuing to pray. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, it reads, "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Kislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven." Let's bow for prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to guard our hearts. We thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Not only providing the cleansing of salvation, the forgiveness of sin, but Lord God enables us to come before you and ask for daily, moment by moment cleansing. So I pray, O God, that you would renew within us the right spirit this morning. I pray that you would quicken our minds, Lord, though we, no doubt, feeling a little bit weary physically, I pray that you would renew us in mind, help us to focus upon your word this morning. And I pray that you'd place within our hearts this morning a hunger and a thirst for thee. And prepare us for the new year before us, that we might serve you more effectively and live a life that's more pleasing in your sight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. The subject of prayer, praying without ceasing, should be a life theme, not just a yearly theme. Just like soul winning, just like meditation upon Scripture, day and night, prayer needs to be a life theme. And as we depart out of 2010 and prepare to move into 2011, I'd like to encourage you as a church family concerning the importance to pray. to pray without ceasing. Nehemiah is a wonderful man of God. Would have to be one of my heroes within the scriptures. This man begins with prayer here in chapter 1. And we'll note in chapter 13, verse 31, he concludes his book with prayer. He begins with prayer, he concludes with prayer. But also you'll find in between the first and final chapter of this book, you'll find prayer in the life of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man of prayer. And this morning I'd like for us to review some principles concerning effective prayer. Note then verse number 4, the end of verse number 4, the Bible reads that Nehemiah prayed before the God of heaven. Now, go to Nehemiah chapter 6, please. Nehemiah chapter 6. And note then verse 15. The Bible reads in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. Nehemiah led a group of people in the rebuilding of the wall that surrounded the city of Jerusalem, and this project was completed in 52 days. A wall that was left in ruins by the Babylonians, Nehemiah led a group of people to rebuild that wall that gave the nation of Israel identity, that gave the nation of Israel a name amongst other nations, and also provided a means of protection for God's people. And Nehemiah led this group of people in a project, and that project was to rebuild this wall that surrounded the city and mount those 12 gates around the city. And the Bible teaches us in Nehemiah chapter 6 that the project was completed in 52 days. Now that might not mean much to you or to me, but I believe that we need to be mindful of the fact that the completion of a wall that surrounded a city, the major wall, the completion of this wall from ruins, and to complete such a project in 52 days was nothing short of a miracle. The title of my sermon this morning is The Fast Track of Prayer. The Fast Track of Prayer. And by that sermon title, I simply mean this. We will accomplish more if we pray more. Pastor, that's not very profound. Well, I guess it's not, but it is. It is, but it's not. We will accomplish more if we pray more. Now, the reason why Nehemiah was able to leave this remnant to rebuild that wall that surrounded that city in only 52 days from beginning to completion was because the life of Nehemiah was saturated with prayer. And so often I'm mindful of the fact that I, for one, and I think I'm not alone on this point, that we neglect prayer and we are more involved in trying to make something happen. Instead of devoting more time to prayer and letting God do the work. And I would like to think that you as well have seen God do more through our prayers than from our efforts. We know that in principle. And brethren, church family, Bible-believing Christian, I'd like for us to enter the new year by being more determined to pray as never before. This prayer will take you and I to places that we will never touch with our physical hands. Prayer will accomplish feats that will never and could not be done by human effort. Prayer is tapping into the omnipotence of an almighty God. And it's by no coincidence that Nehemiah, as he hears the distress, hears of the distress and perplexity and persecution of God's people, he goes to prayer. The fast track of prayer. It has been our yearly theme for 2010. But brethren, let me encourage you to continue to pray. Let's not leave this theme behind us, but let's continue to honor the principle of praying without ceasing. In James chapter 5, verse number 16, the Bible teaches us the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And we see this evident in the life of Nehemiah. Effectual, fervent prayer. I'd like for us to review some principles of prayer from the life of Nehemiah that will enable us to pray with fervency. And just like Elijah of old, see the hand of an almighty God at work upon your life, upon my life. Prayer. Principle number one is this, that Nehemiah had a genuine concern for others. If our prayer life is to be effective, then it needs to flow from a heart of compassion and concern for others. See, when Nehemiah heard of the problems that prevailed amongst his people back in Jerusalem, bearing in mind that Nehemiah is in Persia, serving the king of Persia, and probably has the most responsible position within this Persian empire, Nehemiah is being well cared for. Nehemiah is very comfortable. Nehemiah has everything at his fingertips as the king's cupbearer. He has no issues. He has no problems. Really, what did it mean to him that God's people back in Jerusalem were struggling? To him personally, it had no relevance outside of the fact that these were his people. And he was concerned about his people. And he was concerned about the God of his people. And brethren, if we are to take the fast track of prayer, our prayers need to be saturated with a heart of genuine concern and others' focus. The Bible teaches us that he wept. He mourned certain days. Why? Because he was concerned for others. And if our prayers are to reach the very presence of an almighty God, then we need to pray out of genuine concern, genuine compassion. I think sometimes we are callous in prayer. Are we not? And if our prayers are to warrant the ear of God, then our prayers need to be like the prayers of Nehemiah, like the prayers of Elijah, who prayed with affection, the effectual. He prayed from his heart. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And Nehemiah prayed out of genuine concern for his people. He wasn't focused upon himself. He was focused upon others. And secondly, I'd like for us to note this morning concerning the prayer life of Nehemiah. Note the word fasted. Fasted. Biblical fasting is accompanied with prayer. This man not only conveys genuine compassion and concern for his people, but also he affirms the seriousness of the issue at hand by giving time to fasting. Being prepared to say no to his physical appetites and being prepared to say, yes, oh God, I mean business with you and I want you to do some wonderful, some miraculous things amongst your people. We see seriousness in the life of Nehemiah, in the prayer life of this man of God. Fasting, brethren, proves to God that we are serious. Let's review 2010. Let me ask you, how much fasting did you do in 2010? For most of us, you know what that is? Zero. And yet we think we're serious, and we think we are serious before a holy God, but yet we see in the scriptures fasting being a very critical principle in the life of the child of God that is serious about the things of God. The fast track of prayer involves concern for others. The fast track of prayer involves fasting. Prayer and fasting. Fasted. But also note thirdly that he acknowledged God rightfully. At the end of verse number 4, the Bible reads that Nehemiah prayed before the God of heaven, and note his acknowledgement of God. He said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible, that means awesome, God. As Nehemiah went to prayer, Nehemiah had a right attitude before his God. In other words, Nehemiah placed God upon the throne within his mind as he prayed. And I think so often we pray as if God is our little buddy. Or God is some little McDonald's worker. That we can just give them our order and just expect it done. Brother, God is God. He is the Lord God Almighty. And we live in a day of pathetic Christendom, where mankind, so-called Christianity, has minimized God. God is almighty. God is all powerful. God is all present. And I wish we would just get a hold of that. And the fast track to effective prayer involves you and I, as we go before the presence of God, we are going before the presence of God. I mean, sometimes we pray as if we've got another audience. And let me encourage you, you Bible readers, and I'm so thankful for the group of men that are involved in our Bible reading program. When you pray, you're not praying to impress those that are listening to you. You pray to God. And we'll just cash in and enjoy the blessing as you talk to God. And when Nehemiah prayed, he wasn't concerned about his brethren. He wasn't concerned about those people that were around him. And no doubt he would have had a group of people around him. He understood he was praying to Almighty God. He acknowledged God for who he is. That will help us in our prayer life. God is not our buddy. Really, technically, he's not our friend. He's our God. Understand he's my friend. Understand that principle. But just keep it right there. Keep it right there. He's my Lord. He's God. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all present. And I have the privilege to come before the God of the universe. That's how you can pray effectively. Just see God for who he is. But also note there in verse number 5, the little phrase that keepeth covenant. The word covenant there means a promise. A promise of what? A promise of a contract. A contract normally has a purpose entailed to it. Am I right or not? If you were to sign a contract, that contract should have a purpose connected to it. And may I submit to you that as Nehemiah prayed, he prayed to the God of the heavens that had a purpose for his people. He which has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Christ. And as we pray, we must be mindful that God has a purpose for your life, and God has a purpose for my life, and whatever God allows in your life and in my life, he does so for a reason. He does so with purpose. And as Nehemiah prayed to Almighty God, he understood that I'm not just praying to anybody, I'm praying to the Lord God Almighty who keepeth covenant and mercy. God has a purpose. And God will fulfill his purpose, and it goes on to read verse number 5, for them that love him and observe his commandments. The fast track of effective prayer, brethren, begins with you and I praying out of genuine concern. Begins with you and I praying with a serious mindset, serious attitude. Fasting. By also acknowledging God for who he is. And also as we pray, verse number 5, we must be mindful of the fact that God will and wants to accomplish his purposes in our lives. God has a purpose in what he allows. And whatever God allowed this year, God did so for a purpose. Amen. And what God will allow in 2011, God will do so with purpose. Amen. When God allowed by his providence for Joseph to be sold into slavery, God was still in control. God was still seated in the heavenly. Brethren, whatever God has before you, God has it there prepared for you with purpose. And Nehemiah acknowledged that God is not out of control. God is sovereign. God is in control. And brethren, we pray, we need to be mindful that God has a purpose. And what he allows in my life, God has a purpose. And if I am to enjoy the fulfillment of God's purpose in my life, then my life needs to accompany love for God and obedience to his word. At the end of verse number 5, love for God and obedience to his word. So as we pray, we must do so out of a heart of love for God and a willingness to obey. Obedience equals the blessing of God. As we obey the word of God, God will bless us. Are the blessings of God explainable? Well, in a sense, they are not, but in a sense, they are, because obedience equals blessing. And also note then verse number 6. Note that it reads, "Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant." Nehemiah wanted to be heard. Note the reference to the ear. "Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer." I think so often we pray with little intention of ever God hearing our prayers or answering our prayers. And we need to pray in such a way that we want God to hear our prayers and answer our prayers. Often as parents will say to our children, "Listen to me. Are you listening to me?" Sometimes I'll say to my children, "Are you listening to me?" "Yes, Dad." "Are you listening to me?" "Yes, Dad." And sometimes as father, I question whether they're listening to me because I don't see the fruit. I don't see the evidence. "Have you really been listening to me? I told you to do this and you've done this." We need to pray wanting to be heard. That's the fast track of prayer. I think so often we go through the motions of prayer, but we don't really care a hoot whether God really listens to us or hears us. We're just going through the motions. Wanting to be heard. But also note there in verse 6 that the Bible reads, "I prayed before thee now day and night." There you go, there's that yearly theme again, praying without ceasing. The fast track to effective prayer is to pray without ceasing. But also note principle number 8, out of verse 6, the reference to being a servant. "Hear the prayer of thy servant." Nehemiah understood his position before a holy God. He prayed as a servant before his master. He certainly wasn't demanding. He prayed as a servant before his master. A servant is subject to his master. A servant is stands and bows and serves under the authority of his master. And this is Nehemiah's attitude. He prays as a servant. "Hear the prayer of thy servant." He understood his rightful position. He served within the Persian Empire, but ultimately he understood that God had a purpose, and God has a purpose for his life. And now I believe in my heart that Nehemiah began to see the light come in the window, and now he begins to see, this is why I'm here. This is why I'm here. This is why I have this position. I can see it. I'm starting to see it unfold, that God has me here in this position for a reason, because maybe God wants me as his servant to lead God's people in the rebuilding of this wall. The light was starting to come on. Then we read on in verses 6 and leading to verse 7, confession of sin. Note there, confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Verse 7, we have dealt very corruptly against thee, have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. The principle of confession, the fast track to effective prayer involves confession. Confession means to admit, to agree with. And Nehemiah confesses the sins of his people before a holy and righteous God. And brethren, if we are to be effective in prayer, we need to have the humility to confess our sins before a holy God. Then moving on in verses 8 and 9, Nehemiah claims the promises of God. He said, remember, see the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. And he's certainly seen evidence of that. But note verse 9, and Nehemiah cleaves unto this, but if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. So Nehemiah claims the promises of God. He claims the fact that God, who has judged sin, has scattered his people in the process. The very same God is still on the throne, and God's people will confess their unrighteousness and obey the living God, then God will regather his people within the land. He claims the promises of God. That's the fast track to effective prayer, claiming the promises of God. And in verse number 10, he is mindful of the salvation and the deliverance that God has provided for his people. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. He understood that God is the redeemer of his people. He was mindful of that great salvation that God has evidenced amongst his people time and time again. And now there's another opportunity for God to do a great work amongst his people. He might have been mindful of that crossing of the Red Sea. He might have been mindful of that defeat of Goliath. He might have been mindful of that crossing of the Jordan and all of those countless victories under the hand of Joshua. But Nehemiah was mindful that God is our Redeemer. God is our salvation. God is our Deliverer. Don't ever lose sight of your salvation. The fast track to effective prayer, don't ever lose sight of your salvation. Tonight at 6 p.m, we'll have our last Lord's Supper. If that means anything to you, you'll be here. It's as simple as that. Verse number 11, he makes reference to the mercy of God. Nehemiah prays, asking for God to be merciful to his people. Mercy means unmerited favor. And the fast track to effective prayer is you and I praying in such a way that we understand that we are not worthy of God's blessing. Really, I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. It's by God's grace I stand before you. By the grace of God. And last but not least, at the end of verse number 11, Note that last sentence, for I was the king's cupbearer. Now, Nehemiah is the author of this book. And I believe the spiritual application of that statement is a statement of faith. For I was the king's cupbearer. For I was the king's cupbearer. Faith will push you and I forward. And if you want to move forward in 2011, I'd like to encourage you to walk by faith. And if God begins to open up a way before you, if God begins to reveal a pathway for you, may God help us to walk by faith and take that pathway. The fast track to effective prayer involves concern for others, seriousness by fasting, acknowledging God for who He is, being mindful that God has a purpose, connecting love and obedience to our prayers, praying in such a way that we want to be heard, praying day and night without ceasing, praying from a rightful position as a servant, praying with the humility to confess one's shortcomings, praying claiming the promises of God, praying acknowledging the salvation that God has provided. Be mindful of God's mercies as we pray. And last but not least, praying by faith. For I was the king's cupbearer. The fast track to effective prayer is to pray by faith. Let's close with Nehemiah chapter 13, please. As I said, the book begins with prayer. And you'll find throughout the book prayer being preeminent. But here in Nehemiah chapter 13, at the end of the chapter, verse 31, note that last sentence. Remember me, O my God, for good. The book begins with prayer. The book ends with prayer. First stop was prayer. Last stop with prayer. And in between, prayer, 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 prayer. The fast track of effective prayer. Our yearly theme this year has been praying without ceasing. Please don't set that aside. Let's continue to pray without ceasing. We'll accomplish more when we pray. We really will. May God help us to be mindful of that principle from the life of Nehemiah this morning. Let's be upstanding.